Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Saving Lives in Slow Motion. Today, I'd like to talk about feedback. Now, I'm not talking about what you hear when you plug your guitar in and your amps on too high a setting. I'm talking about the culture that we live in nowadays, where everything is performance oriented and there's a real push towards getting feedback for everything. Whatever you do, when you walk through customs at the airport, there's those smiley faces, or when you purchase something online, you often get an email with a feedback form. And actually, on a personal level, the other element of feedback that really interests me is how you feed things back to your peers or your colleagues or someone that you work with, depending on what kind of personality they have. So I'd like to touch on that as well. So many of you will know that I don't particularly like jargon, and feedback is a bit jargonistic. And I think it's because I particularly find it hard to tolerate management jargon, because often it's meaningless, and you know, there are all these tools and metaphors. Sometimes you just want to get down to business. But the essence of feedback is really to learn and to save resources, time, money, and it, in a way, just improve whatever it is you're trying to get feedback on, whether that's a system, whether that's yourself and how you're doing something. It is really a process of learning. And really structured, good quality feedback is more than just kind of, you know, saying, hey, you did a good job. It is based on data. And the bottom line is that there is some evidence that if you have productive feedback, that actually improves work output and productivity. I think also on a personal level, people react to feedback quite differently. So I'm someone who's always a bit fearful of it. I always have been, because I think, oh, you know, what have I done wrong? They're going to find me out, you know, or whatever. And then there are other people who really don't mind it. They confidently think that they're going to get excellent feedback, and you know, if they don't, then they nullify it or they ignore it. And there's also an element of lip service to feedback. Nowadays, people know that they're meant to say thank you, for example. Actually, feedback that's not specific isn't particularly helpful. So if you just say, oh, thanks everyone who helped to bring this project to fruition, that's a thank you. That's not really feedback. Whereas actually, if you are a bit more specific and say, look, you know, what I really like is that the way you planned this project out, you had some clear goals, you engaged the client, you did X, Y, Z, whatever it is, I'm making it up, you know, and you also did this and went above and beyond what you were meant to do. So thank you. That's much more effective, because you've actually identified particular areas that person did well, highlighted them, and then acknowledged their efforts with a thank you. So going back to the airport example, or the business that asks for feedback online, you know, the star ratings that you get on all these websites, that is really industries learning about themselves. So that data gets fed into a number crunching machine and analysed, and they might find that, hey, you know, we got less smiley faces when people were waiting in this part of the queue, and that means we need to look at that. But focusing on individual feedback, which I think is far more interesting in a way, the examples I just gave about specific feedback, they're all fine, but there's a step before that. And one of the things I never know is how someone's going to take feedback. So if they've done something, let's say, for example, I mean, in general practice and in medicine, we do a lot of feeding back. And if you're watching a trainee in a consultation, I find that a really good place to start is to see how they calibrate themselves. So I often say, how do you think that went? And then if, for example, you know, I thought myself that it didn't go very well, and then the actual trainee says, oh, I thought it was brilliant, you know, I thought that was just great. The next challenge is to kind of break that down. So I was trained as a GP in the Oxford Deanery, and they used to use something called Pendleton rules. And Pendleton rules cover what went well first and then what you might have improved on. So my next question would be, okay, what do you think went well? And then if there's a mismatch where the trainee suddenly thought that they had done something well that I thought, hang on a minute, that didn't go so well, what do you do at that point? Well, there's lots of different ways. In the region I work in now, they use something called a Calgary-Cambridge model, and the feedback there is a bit more brutal. You sort of intervene as things are going wrong. It's almost more real time, which I always found a bit violating, actually, as either the trainer or the person it's being done to, because I think it can really ruin people's flow, but that's just my view. Actually, it reminds me, years ago we had something called OSCE stations, OSCE's Objective Structured Clinical Examination, and these sort of, if you like, actor patients at each station where, when I was a trainee, you had to go up and examine them or, you know, pretend to go through a consultation with them. And this was many years ago, and I'm not going to name any names, but there was a local consultant surgeon who came along to do the OSCEs with our local GP trainers. And when it came to the feedback at the end, he just went, I thought all of you were terrible, really terrible. You know, none of you have a clue about examining the abdomen properly or examining anything thoroughly, for that matter. And, you know, we all thought he was joking, because we were used to this Pendleton model of saying what you did well first and then what you could have improved on. But it was hilarious. And, you know, our then course director just went, well, you know, don't hold back, you know, on the feedback. But it was brutal. But, you know, that in itself is not helpful, because, yeah, we may have been terrible in his eyes, but what is it that we were doing so terribly? And again, as I always say, it's important to separate terrible from the person and the technique. You know, you're not terrible. It's just that you were doing something terribly in the eyes of someone who's an expert. But there was no learning in that feedback at all. I think we're in quite a difficult time in history at the moment, because everyone has the right to reply. Everyone can feedback on everyone. You know, whether it's your boss, whether it's your junior, it doesn't matter. We often do these things called 360s, where everyone gets an opinion on you and your performance. You know, a lot of organisations do that. But where I find it difficult is people who just cannot take criticism. And feedback is different to criticism. But people who are, I guess, the opposite of vulnerable and quite defensive just don't like it, and it can be quite ugly. And I've had this over the years with colleagues where they're just blind to feedback that seems to be consistent. So if someone's saying the same thing about your performance or the way that you do something, then you probably ought to take note of it. So as doctors, we have these annual appraisals. A lot of people have them at work, obviously not just doctors. And certain themes come through, and actually one that has come through for me is that making sure I write enough about a plan for someone in their notes, because although I know what's going on and I might know the patient very well, one or two of my colleagues have found it difficult to know whether I'd actually made a referral or whether I had planned a follow-up, etc. And that's really useful because A, it's true, I agree with that, and B, I've worked on it every single year. I make an extra effort now to make sure that I address that. And, you know, the underlying reason being that I'm so absorbed in my interaction with the patient, the note-keeping I do sort of afterwards rather than type and talk at the same time when the patient's in front of you. I always find that quite rude, although it's probably not a bad idea in terms of record keeping. And I think with the prickly people, as I call them, the ones that don't take feedback very well, there's a bit of a danger because sometimes they often get so defensive they fire shots back at you saying, oh, you've got it in for me, you know, and they kind of play that card. And actually, there's no basis to it at all. It's feedback from many, many sources that, or multi-source feedback, as we call it, that has highlighted specific behaviours or areas that they need to focus on. Well, the other one is they just ignore it, and you're waiting for the penny to drop where they finally think, you know what, I really ought to do something about this, rather than just make excuses and fob them off. So one way around this, I think, is where you set really clear ground rules with feedback for an organisation and you say, look, you know what, this is going to feel threatening for some of you, but the important thing is that it's the same for everyone and the methods used are the same for each person and we're just trying to learn a bit more about us and how to improve not just our own performance, but the performance of the organisation. You've got to have purpose, you see, with these things. Otherwise, there's no point. What is the point in feedback unless there's a goal or a purpose? I think also, in order for feedback culture to feel unthreatening, it's got to be part of the way things are wherever you work, you know, so that you're just doing it all the time informally, so that it just doesn't feel like a big deal, because it's really easy to take colleagues for granted. You kind of expect them to do a good job, particularly in healthcare, because we're so punch drunk from workload at the moment. So it's nice to acknowledge that someone's doing a good job, but with a specific example. You know, for example, I really liked the way that you did that, the way you spoke to that person, because it made them understand this particular situation or whatever. You know, so you're picking on something specific and commenting on that. The other thing is that as you progress in whatever field of work you're in, the longer you've been in a particular job or the more senior you are, feedback can dry up. No one says well done or thank you or gives you subjective or objective feedback unless it's through a tool like appraisal questionnaires. And that is almost the opposite. You don't really know how you're doing. We all need encouragement and we all need to be told if we're not doing something the right way. And in medicine, that's because of safety, obviously, first and foremost. And I think, you know what, it's okay to actually ask for feedback. I'm really happy with that and I've often done that. But in order to get it appropriately, the person giving the feedback almost has to make it not sound like feedback. I think the word itself, it can be a bit triggering and can make people nervous. So you certainly don't want a situation like the surgeon I mentioned earlier who just says, you know, oh, well, that was terrible, because that's not constructive in any way, shape or form. What would be better is asking someone how something went, focusing on what went well and how they did that, and then perhaps thinking about things that might need a bit of improvement. That's my way anyway, having kind of looked at lots of methodologies around feedback, including some that say that feedback is not beneficial. That's an interesting one. So, you know, I like a story or a quote. My feedback stories are a little bit dull and a bit short, but I'll tell that very quickly. It was when I was a medical student and a senior colleague on our firm was getting feedback from patients on the ward, and there was a lady who I'd been tasked to cannulate, which is where you get a little needle like the one that you take blood with and you pop it into a vein so that you can set a drip up. Anyway, I couldn't do it and I had two or three goes. And we were walking round and this senior colleague said, "So, you know, what was he like?" And she said, "Do you know what? I've never come across a doctor or a student who's got shoes as shiny as he has," which I thought was very generous of her. But I'm going to end with a quote. They're quite dull, the ones on feedback, but there's one that resonates with me. And it's by someone called Anne-Marie Horteling. And it's this: "Feedback is a free education to excellence. Seek it with sincerity and receive it with grace." And I think that just about sums it up. And I really wish that the people that are oversensitive and always worry they're not good enough take heed of that. But also the ones that don't like criticism and find it difficult to listen to feedback. Because I think if you see it as that, you know, a free education, and you receive it with grace, you can't really go wrong. Okay, so that was feedback. And I'd love your feedback just to keep on brand with the actual episode. It'd be great to hear from you whether you've got any horror stories about feedback, or the opposite, where compassionate feedback, which is what I think I'm about, has really inspired you and nurtured you in your education or your career. I'd love to hear from you on my social media outlets. In the meantime, I'll be back again soon with another topic. Meanwhile, do take care, look after yourself, and until we meet again, bye for now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.